New York Comic Con 2009 is almost here. Stop on by the Jacob Javits Center February 6th through 8th and experience the East Coast's biggest and most exciting pop culture convention. The show floor plays host to the latest and greatest in comics, graphic novels, anime, manga, video games, toys, movies, and television. New York Comic Con is the second largest pop culture convention in America and the only one that takes place in the comic book, publishing, media, and licensing capital of the world. Special guests for New York Comic Con 2009 include Adam and Andy Kubert, Brian Michael Bendis, Bruce Timm, Carmine Infantino, Jeff Johns, George Perez, Grant Morrison, J. Michael Straczynski, Jim Lee, Matt Fraction, Neil Adams, and more. And don't forget, Sunday, February 8th is Kids Day. All kids 12 and under with proof of age will get in for free. So bring the entire family to this year's New York Comic Con. For more information, visit nycomiccon.com or follow the link on our website, and we will most certainly see you there.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Like tits, ass, vagina.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Comic Timing Episode 80, the podcast to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Tonight, it's just me and Ian doing Review Corner. Listen to the books that we reviewed, pull them out, follow along, and have a blast. It's JSA number 21, Umbrella Academy Dallas number 1, as well as Daredevil, Captain America, the Weird Murder 1. Here now, Comic Timing.
Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 80 of Comic Timing. It is a milestone episode, and to celebrate, we're having a regular episode of Comic Timing. So, what a way to go. What a way to go. And we are joined this episode by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who is not freezing his tootsies off this evening because it's 50 degrees in his happy land. It's Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Not much. Just waiting on you.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations on 1 year of BK's Bullets. I was thrilled to finally hear that.
Oh, really? That was like 3 weeks ago. Did you know that?
Yes. I knew it was 3 months ago, but I wanted to let it like simmer.
Thank you.
That and when they have 4-hour episodes, it kind of takes me a while to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, they've been cutting back. We've been out some 2-hour episodes.
Not recently. My God, man.
Yeah, like the last couple.
All right. But
you're just that far behind.
I guess so. But your two voicemails were golden. That's all I gotta say. Like
I like the two. I like them too.
you were reminding me a little bit of Raph with the. You're gonna do a podcast. You're gonna have it be on Smallville. Yeah, gonna talk about season 7. Gonna have it all about the Tom Welling. Yeah, you go ahead and do that. You go ahead and do that. Yeah. My favorite comment, though, was you saying, and I really hope they ended at season 7 because that just seems like a great mark to go.
Yeah.
And here we are 1 year later.
Halfway into season 8.
Well, I guess they didn't take your advice.
I guess not, because it was never aired.
Yeah, there you go. They had heard
now
it.
Now they're listening
earlier.
To it and smacking their heads going, he was right.
Damn it.
As good as this season is.
Son
we could have made
bitch.
It so much better if we just ended it.
Oh, man. Oh, well. On the bright side, there won't be a season 9, so hopefully.
Yeah, I think
hopefully.
Tom Welling wants to do other things. Yeah. What I've heard.
Really? He wants to do something else after 8 fucking years of being Clark Kent without the Superman?
Well, I mean, I think the only thing he's done is those Steve Martin movies and The Fog or whatever.
And I must say, those Steve Martin movies just showed his acting chops superbly.
Yeah,
I mean,
his part was monumental.
Yes.
In those movies.
It's like Christian Bale as Batman, you know? It's something that you're always going to remember for the rest of your life.
Right.
If you can understand.
It's like Christian Bale landed Batman and then followed it up with The Prestige and Rescue Dawn, two great movies, and Tom Welling got Clark Kent, you know, Superman, and followed it up with Cheaper by the Dozen 1 and 2 and The Fog.
You know, I was just having a conversation yesterday too about Christian Bale's voice and how like we want him to start talking like that in regular movies. You know, the next action comedy he does, or even just like the drama. You know, he goes to meet the girl for the first time and he's like,
hello, how are you? My name is Christian.
He should play like a a guy who's been smoking his whole life. Just use that voice.
Yes, that voice would work superbly for that. All right. So, you know, now that we got the BS out of the way and all that, I guess we should start with the episode. But first, Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner at heroescorner.com.
It works so much better when you don't do it like New York Comic Con ad.
Heroes Corner is bigger, better, and has double the space for
2010.
And yes, yet again, we will be in the podcast arena. They haven't given me an ad copy yet, so once they give me an ad copy, I will read it in the New York Comic Con voice. But until then, just be at New York Comic Con, nycomiccon.com, all that crap. But we're sponsored by Heroes Corner, heroescorner.com. It is the holiday season, so what better way to celebrate it being the holiday season than to buy some cheap-ass comic books? Am I right?
Cheap-ass?
Mm-hmm. Damn skip it. Now, I'm not sure when this episode's going to come out. I'm going to give you guys the discounts anyway. If it's past the discount point, well, then, oh well. And if it...
Because Brent's not going to change it.
Right. Exactly. If it is out in time for you guys to go onto the website and check it out, go ahead. If not, we're just going to give you the review corner picks for the month, and you can do with it what you will. You can contact Bob and Sam and be like, hey, add this to my order or something like that. Do whatever you want, but... Anyway, I'm going to read them. So here we go.
They've been on the website for a while. They really have no excuse.
Yes, exactly.
All right. As Ian was saying, we are sponsored by Curios Corner. I know he was saying that he doesn't know when this is coming out, and he was just going to read it anyway. But I'm going to actually edit this and put in the January books that you can order from HeroesCorner.com that are Comic Timings picks from the January previews, which will come out in March. First up from DC, we have Azrael Death's Dark Knight number 1 with Fabian Nicieza and Frazier Irving on art. Regular price $2.99, 75% off at Heroes Corner for only 75 cents. That means you have no excuse to not buy this book. No excuse not to buy this book. 75 cents. It's Azrael. I fully endorse it, and you gotta buy it. Otherwise, I'm gonna kill a kitten. Moving on. From Marvel, we got the X-Force Cable Messiah War Prologue. Regularly priced at $3.99. 50% off at Heroes Corner for a price of only $2. Wah-bam! Independent, we got Caped number 1. Regular price $3.99. 50% off at Heroes Corner for a price of $2. The CT promo code this month is Maverick. A la your buddy Raph. That is Maverick. John McCain was a Maverick until he changed his views or whatever and was wishy-washy so he could get all the religious right or whatever. Anyway, moving on. So those are your books for the January previews. They will be on the website, on the CT, on the Comic Timing forums, as well as you can find them on the Heroes Corner website, bright front and center, as well as in their newsletter. The original ad copy that we had for this month is a lot of fun anyway, so it's going to be in the bloopers, so just make sure you stay tuned for that, because there's a lot of fun in that. It was a lot longer than this. Anyway, back to your regularly scheduled program.
I'm going to mention something here. I'm going to go on a very, very slight rant, okay? You guys are either going to think I'm douches for this, or you guys are not even going to care, and you're just going to continue on.
This is all him.
This is all me, okay? Brent has nothing to do with this. Except for the fact that he does. we've been getting some interesting responses about the product code of late. Now, I'm not saying it was any of you guys who listened to the show. It's very possible it might have been guys who were just, you know, Googling like comics and discount and putting it in. But there have been a bunch of people who have been trying to get the Comic Timing First Shoppers discount code on multiple occasions, you know, after you've already used it once on the site. Now, Bob and Sam are doing you guys a favor for having this code in the first place, the CT Rocks code, and specifically it's for first-time shoppers, to get you guys into the site, to have you come back for more, that sort of stuff, you know? And, I mean, this is going out of their own pocket, and they're nice enough to give it to you guys. And the past couple of months, we've had people trying to abuse the code, and even after they've signed up, try to use it for a second month, a third month, a fourth month. Well, it's not cool, all right? So if it is any of you guys who happen to be listening to it, I don't care who you are. You know, I'm not asking for names here. It's just remember that these guys have got to make a living too. I understand it's hard times right now, but in essence, you're taking advantage of the niceness of strangers here because you don't really know them that well, but you might buy from them. So knock it off, all right?
Yeah, Raph.
Yeah. Come on. No, Suhu's got his Midtown Comics discount, so I don't think he's using that. Or is he? Bum, bum, bum. But, yeah, so, again, it's a first-time shopper discount of CT Rock, CTROCKS. The code will be changing at the end of the month, so if you try to put it in for January, if this one happens to come out in January, it ain't going to work. And I believe they're actually implementing a system now where, you know, it works once and that's it. So, you know, remember this, guys, okay? They're doing it out of the nicest of their heart. I'm not saying this to be a dick. I'm just saying be respectful, all right? End of rant. Brent can either agree, disagree, or pretend this never happened. That's up to him.
All right, so did you tell him that we're going to MegaCon?
And that's his response. Yes, we are indeed going to MegaCon. We will be at MegaCon on February, 26th? Memory serves? Or 27th? 26th to the 1st? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay, February 26th.
Yeah, 27th to the 1st.
27th to the 1st. Okay, I'm coming in on the 26th, though, so we'll be there a day early. But you'll be there on the 27th because you've got school, I assume, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll be at MegaCon. We'll be trolling the floor like last time.
And Dan DiDio's going to be there. That means a real actual panel.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, it's funny because I assume Quesada's not going to be there.
Nope. Dan DiDio, George Perez, Chuck Dixon, Brandon Peterson, Jimmy Palmiotti, Chris Claremont, that old fart, Ron Mars, Mark Wade, Greg Land, Ethan Van Sciver, Jim Chung, Steve McNiven, Darwin Cook, Tony Bedard, Frank Cho, Paul Pelletier, Mike Perkins, Adam Hughes, Amanda Connor, Peter Beagle. Who the fuck's that guy?
Ian Levenstein, Brent Cassina, Brandon Christopher. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on, really, of amazing people that are going to be there. But
Humberto Ramos, Arthur Sudam, and those dudes from that Power Rangers thing, which you haven't sent me yet.
Yeah, forget them. But we love you guys. Sean, Travis, hi, hello. All right, but yeah, we'll be at MegaCon, they'll be at MegaCon, everybody's going to be at MegaCon, and I guarantee that Dan DiDio and Joe Quesada flip a coin as to which one of them is going to be at MegaCon, because, you know, last year we got Quesada, this year we got DiDio.
Yep.
So, yeah, enjoy it. It's megaconvention.com if you want to go to it, and yeah, buy your tickets, and say hello to Ian, because, you know what I look like. You've been to my Flickr. It's all good. And Brent will be there, too.
Of course.
Yeah. So we're doing a review corner.
Right. Yeah. So what do you want to do first?
Well, first off, let's mention what the books are before we, you know, even go into anything. This month, we're going to be going into Justice Society of America number 21 and Umbrella Academy, God Save the President / Dallas, depending on which surname you want to go with here, and Daredevil and Captain America, Dead on Arrival, which is a one-shot out of Marvel that came out. You know what? I picked last month which one we did first, so, you know, your pick.
All right. Since I have it on top, let's go with JSA.
Haha. Okay. That would be Justice Society of America, by the way. It stopped being JSA a long time ago.
All right. Whatever. Well, I file them in my mind by
abbreviations.
JSA.
Abbreviations.
Well, it's still a lot shorter.
We still call Justice League of America JLA, so I guess we can still call JSA JSA. So, what'd you think?
It's okay.
Okay,
it's pretty good.
Great discussion on it, I gotta say, man.
I was really disappointed that I was expecting a full issue of Dale Eaglesham, because basically this was a late book. Mm-hmm. It came out in December rather than November, so I was expecting Dale Eaglesham.
Yeah.
And I open it up, and I get Dale Eaglesham for 5 pages, and then the very talented and capable Jerry Ordway takes over for the rest of the book.
Yeah, yes, because
until Dale Eaglesham wraps up for another, you know, 3 pages.
And it's such a negative that we get such a wonderful artist like Jerry. I mean, come on, man. It didn't even strike me when I was reading it that there was an art change.
Yeah, that first page, it didn't strike me either, because I was like, man, that looks like some weird inking on Dale Eaglesham. But as I got into it, I was kind of like, wait a minute, I'm being tricked here. This isn't Dale Eaglesham at all.
Capable Jerry Ordway.
Yes, still very capable, but on this series, they've only used Jerry Ordway for Earth 2 sequences up until now.
Okay.
And this was not an Earth 2 sequence, so I kind of have an issue with that.
Right. Well, from the looks of things, it might not have even been Eaglesham that was running behind, though. It could have very well been Alex Ross or Jeff Johns that were, you know, under the workload, and Eagle Sham could only draw so much in that, in the amount of time they gave him. We don't know the truth behind it. So, you know, I'm not like saying specifically that, you know, we should blame or not blame anybody, but we don't know whether it was the art or the writing that was late.
You're right. But all the other specials came out.
Yeah, late.
Alex Ross.
Yeah, they all came out late.
Like a week, though.
Yeah.
How were they late?
Well, they were supposed to come out, I think they were at least 2 weeks late, 3 weeks late, if I remember correctly. And they were all done by different people, too. Remember that.
Yeah, the first one was all Alex Ross. The mm-hmm. second one was Peter Tomasi mm-hmm. and Fernando Pissarin. And the third one was Jeff Johns and Fernando Pissarin.
Yeah, so Pissarin did two of them. And Jeff and Alex only did two out of the three. So either way, did you enjoy the issue as a whole? I mean, was it what you were expecting out of the issue of JSA?
Yes, I got a better time reading it as part of the series mm-hmm. when I read all three of them back to back than I did just by itself.
Okay, I'm going to agree with that. I feel like all the one shots that came out this month sort of were one issue of JSA, because like, if I had decided not to pick up the one-shots, which I was actually considering at some point, because I was thinking maybe I shouldn't pick it up and you should pick it up and we should, you know, compare and contrast, but, you know, I'm a weak-minded individual and I ended up picking up all of it. But, I mean, they charged $3.99 for all the tie-ins.
But they're all double-sized.
They were all double-sized, yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing here, although still the $3.99 price point pisses me off, but at least we're getting more content for it.
Double the content rather than just extra.
Yeah, and that's when it's okay to have a $3.99. But still, it was a very, very expensive month for anybody who reads JSA.
Yes, it was, actually. It pushed my order above $100 because of those things.
Yeah, mine actually, I bought these in the store, and I spent a lot this month at the store. This is actually the last month I was doing the store. So, you know, now I'm switching over to online, and I'm over 100, but I'm still spending less than I would at the store, so hooray me. But still, I spent altogether, I bought two copies of JSA.
Yeah, I did that as well, because we didn't know when we were going to record this.
Yeah.
And I could have just ended up waiting.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten, my shipment's actually still waiting at my parents' house with this JSA in it. So I didn't actually get it in time for this, and it's a good thing that I picked it up. But I ended up spending, let's see, 4, 8, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah, I guess technically at least $16, $15 to $16, depending on tax and all that, on these four issues of JSA. So it was almost like buying a trade in a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It worked out, though, because every story was good. I think my favorite of the four was definitely the Alex Ross issue.
Yeah, but strangely enough, that was the one issue that didn't have anything to do with the storyline.
Right. Exactly.
I thought that was kind of weird.
Well,
I was like, oh, this is a nice story, but why do we have to tell it now?
Well, because it was the Kingdom Come Superman issue, and he wanted to tell a Kingdom Come story.
I know.
Yeah.
I guess he's going away next issue.
Possibly. We don't know for sure. But yeah, it was nice getting that backstory. And funny thing, CBR's blog, Comic Book Resources blog, had an interview with Mark Waid, where they were just, you know, like shooting the shit. Basically, it was Brian.
Yeah, I read that.
Did you happen to read the part about Kingdom Come?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you know,
he's like, I kind of had my crack at it with the Kingdom, so I guess it's Alex's turn.
Yeah. They didn't even bother contacting Alex. Excuse me, Mark Waid. They were just, did it.
We kind of asked him about it, and this was still going on in, when was it? Yeah, March last year at MegaCon. And we asked him about it, and he was like, I'd just like to read it just like you guys.
Right.
That might have just been a canned response. You know, I don't know.
Well, no, come on. He's a genuine fan of comics.
Yeah, he likes comics. So, I mean, he wasn't – I don't think he was working for DC at the time. So, you know.
Well, wasn't he still doing Brave and the Bold?
Oh, he was doing Brave and the Bold. You're right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
He was still doing Brave and the Bold. Flash was done at that point, though.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay, and let me actually get back to what I was saying on this. The other two tie-ins, The Kingdom, and what was the other tie-in? It was The Kingdom,
Magog.
Superman, and Magog. Okay, yeah. The Magog and The Kingdom ones were the ones that definitely added to the plot, but... Really, the only one that was definitely like
necessary was the Kingdom.
Right? Yeah. The other two you could have not read and just been perfectly fine. But if you want a good story, you read all four of them and enjoy yourself. I like the story that was told in the Kingdom, and it made me realize how much of a douche Damage has become.
Well, he was ugly, and now he's pretty.
Yes.
So it's he got back what he wanted, though. You know, like I don't blame him.
They all did.
Yeah, but in the Kingdom, what I liked about that one is that it showed how like the gifts were negatively affecting their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially with Dr. Midnight. It was like, damn.
Yeah, well,
he got some work to do.
Yeah, well, he went from being able to know right away what's wrong with people because of his special abilities to now being just a regular doctor for the first time in years. You know, I mean, not that that makes him a slouch or anything, because he still knows how to, you know, use the instruments and stuff, but he's got to almost relearn his entire craft without his special sight.
And they were like, we have to get the MRI machine and the CAT scan running up and now because he didn't have his special vision.
Yeah.
It costs money.
Yeah, please.
So think about the business that he would have. Well, I don't think he did take money for that stuff.
Well, okay.
Because he's like a pro-charity doctor.
Yeah, he's the what is it, like the public clinic?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, kind of makes you think, like, I mean, what would Daredevil's life be like if all of a sudden he could just see and didn't have his, like, radar sense anymore? I mean, it kind of made me think how different the world of people like Dr. Midnight and Daredevil are, because, you know, they've learned to see with, like, their radar sense or with their different spectrums and everything. And when you get your regular sight back, you're almost, like, missing being blind.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, that's – it's kind of weird, you know? Regular blind people experience the same thing sometimes. I mean, they get their sight back, and they sort of miss being blind because they smell differently, they heard differently. You know, all the senses would react differently when you're blind. So there you go. What about Sand's situation? That was pretty messed up too.
Yeah, he'd not been able to help people.
Yeah.
Or he was able to help him. He was just too late consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he didn't have the dreams.
And those were very prophetic nightmares. And when Gog gives him back the nightmares, and when everybody gets back everything they had, really, it makes us realize how much of a, like, I guess how wrong Gog actually was. I mean, you really start seeing that in the Kingdom, where you realize what Gog is doing to the world, as Sand realizes himself. But Gog is not here to save everyone. Gog is here to make everyone worship Gog.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you have worshipped Gog?
No.
Really?
Unless he made me fly.
And now I understand how the mind of Brent Cassino works. It's all about superpowers with you, man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and how about the one guy who didn't even get help by Gog? You know,
Citizen Steel. Yeah,
yeah. Poor Steel, man. I mean, like, it's like he was the Charlie Brown of the bunch.
Got the football taken away from him just as he was about to kick it.
Yes, exactly. And the other person that I definitely wanted to mention, you know, during this whole thing is, well, Starman. As we're getting bits and pieces of a series that's not even done yet, Legion of Three Worlds. Like, now we know how Tom actually got to the Kingdom Come universe and then eventually here.
Well, you know what I was confused about by that backup? What was that? That was in the Magog special, right?
The Magog special, yeah.
Yeah, what I was confused about that was you had that scene of him getting the suit in the Legion of Three Worlds like event or whatever, mm-hmm. and all the Brainiacs were there.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they were running from, I guess the Earthman's guys, like, you know, all the shit that happened in Action Comics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So when did he come back? Not when did he come back, but, like, that happened in Action Comics, and then now, like, to me, the timeline was JLA, JSA crossover, Action Comics, Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Three Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing kind of went like Legion of Three Worlds, JLA, JSA, Action Comics, I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah. Well,
did that snag you a little bit when you were reading that?
It did snag me. However, it's the way that I read it is still that Legion of Three Worlds happens after everything else. I think it's just that Tom gets sent back before any of the Action Comics stuff. That's really how I read it.
I'm still if he's got three Brainiacs giving him the suit as the map of the multiverse, mm-hmm. then how does Legion of Three Worlds happen after everything else when they just called the other two Legions and we're still in the second issue of that fucking book?
Yeah. We're going to find out.
Okay.
I mean, by issue three, because it's only a three-issue series, right?
No, it's a five-issue series.
Five-issue series? Oh,
yes.
Jesus Christ.
The fifth part is coming out in February.
Oh, bloody
hell. And that's after Final Crisis has ended.
Well, la-ti-frickin-da. Well, I guess we'll find out in February then. Heyo. And now we know why JSA was late. But... yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the actual Justice Society of America 21 issue. Did you enjoy the way Gog gets revealed? Because in some ways, and I'm not saying it was entirely like this, but it kind of felt a little bit forced to me how Justice Society of America sort of bands back together.
Yeah,
in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I thought the same way. Sand comes back, he's destroying the Earth. Take my word for it. And then all of a sudden, Gog takes a step, and they notice, oh, shit, he's got roots coming out of his feet. Oh, I guess we were wrong. Sorry, dude. Let's take him out. Go for the head.
And you didn't notice this for the first, week and a half you were walking
he's
around
with
his
He's been walking
putts?
Across the fucking country,
yes.
You know, for 6 days, and you never noticed it before? Like, was he shuffling his feet, you know? Should he have... He should, if he's doing that, he should have like two big trenches behind him if he's shuffling his feet.
Yes. and
there should have been a dust cloud behind him the whole damn time. There wasn't any.
That would certainly be interesting. And come on, how many people in the Justice Society of America are going to start looking like Kingdom Come characters by the time this is all said and done?
I think they're just doing that just to do it. Like Green Lantern mm-hmm. comes up with this super armor. Like, do you really need that? And that happened a couple issues ago.
Yeah.
When Matt Gog showed up or whatever.
Even
Obsidian showed up on the last page and you're like, whoa, 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 two more Kingdom Come characters came back. And it's like, nah, he just put on some special armor.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. I thought like, oh, crap, we've got more crossover going on.
Yeah, not so much.
And now Jay is looking a lot like another dude.
Yeah, that was kind of like weird for me. Well, he wasn't really looking like that. He just looks like it on the cover.
Not just on the cover, man. I'm taking a look at the page right now after he gets hit by the lightning. And he's vibrating all red and looks just like the
Flash
from King of Cups.
You can still see like the shades of blue and stuff and... like, his face is still there. Oh, you mean, like, a couple pages after that. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple pages after that, once he's actually trying to settle down.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was kind of like, eh, all right. I thought the cover was nice, and I looked at the cover. I was like, whoa, something big is going to happen this issue. Like, more crossover or whatever. The Hawkman from Kingdom Come is there, mm-hmm. which is actually Northwind.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember him in the issue.
Northwind wasn't...
He was in the kingdom.
Yeah, he was in the kingdom, and was that the first
he's
time
he's in the
he
back
up?
Of one of these pages.
Okay, all right. So he didn't really do anything.
But he doesn't make, a prominent appearance. He's not, in a full panel or anything like that.
Okay. Well, and the other thing that kind of, yet again, pisses me off with the whole Cosmic Reset thing is, okay, so Gog takes away everything he gave to the Justice Society of America... and now everybody's back to where they were, only more fucked up. So nothing happened.
Yeah, he knew he was doing bad in one of those specials. I think it was the Kingdom. You saw the Dr. Midnight scene, and then they had one panel of Gog all across the world. It's almost like he knew what was going on. And he was smirking. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I could understand giving Starman his insanity back, because that's going to fuck him up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Doc Midnight, you did more harm to him giving him his sight back rather than, you know, taking it away once again.
Well, and what I want to know is he more blind than he was before? That is he still going to be able to use his night vision?
I'm going to guess so.
Okay.
Because it made it seem like he's just undoing everything he did.
Cause his
blessings.
But his eyes are, like, black. Were they ever black like that? I mean, like, I remember him having pupils.
I don't know. He doesn't say anything distinctly of that, you know, he's making it worse.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and do you want to read into it all the whole, which way to the funeral, please? The twins need help. Then there was one.
I don't know.
Oh, but it's so fun trying to think of what Starman is actually saying through his insanity.
Well, if you go, I'm sure in 6 months this will make sense.
Yeah.
Because if you go back and reread like the first couple issues he was in this JSA series, he says something like about the Legion of Three Worlds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, look at that right there. Of course, it's written by the same guy, but.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means right now.
Well, which way to the funeral, please? That's obviously going to be Batman because, you know, he's going to RIP. And the twins needed help. Then there was one, perhaps Duo Damsel, which is now Una.
I was thinking like the Flash twins.
Well, that could be.
They're not in the story.
Yes.
I don't know.
All right. Well, final. You know, thing here that we can discuss real quick is poor Magog.
You think he's dead?
Yes.
Because he was dead before, right?
Yeah, because of Gog in the first place. I don't think Gog is going to be nice to his disciple who just, you know, pissed him off by being like, yeah, I'll make you the way you were before I accidentally killed you. Well,
I guess we'll find out.
I mean, would you rather him be alive?
Yeah. Maybe not as Magog, but like they pulled this character out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
made him Magog, and it was like we never really even got to know him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good reason to keep him around.
Like Amazing Man, this guy, and Lightning, Black Lightning's daughter,
mm-hmm.
they pulled him out in like one issue all at once. Put him in the team, and then all this stuff started happening.
Man,
it was like, you know.
Yeah.
And I still feel like Obsidian's getting the shaft.
You know what? Yeah, he's like the shadowy doorman of the Justice Society of America. I mean, he occasionally makes cookies in the kitchen or something like that.
He seems pretty useless.
He's a guard dog. He's like having a Doberman.
Yeah, but I'm sure he does more than that.
He makes cookies.
I'm disappointed.
Yes. Well, and now he doesn't even have Manhunter's book to, you know, occasionally disappear into.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Poor man. Oh, well. Oh, and am I the only one who was hoping that they would nickname Black Lightning's, you know, second daughter Black Vulcan?
No.
Aw.
Come on, thunder, lightning, it goes together.
Thunder. Okay, I'm done. So, give it a rating.
3.5.
I'll give it a 3.9.
All right. That's almost a 4. Why don't you just give it a 4?
Fine, 4. Well, because okay, it wasn't quite a 4. You know, had Eagle Sham drawn maybe one more page, I'd give it a 4.
If Eagle Sham had drawn the whole thing, I might have given it a 4. I'm just going to be a dick like that.
Yes, yeah. yes, you are. Well, let's move on to a comic that was drawn by one person. And that man is Gabriel Ba.
All right.
The Umbrella Academy, God Save the President. /Dallas. Yes. Not the TV show and No One Killed JR. All right, so let's begin with me, considering that you began last time. So, I loved the first Umbrella Academy. Okay? I've made my opinion very clear on that. That's why I picked this one. As I stated before, I didn't actually pick up the first one. I borrowed it from my girlfriend. She enjoyed it a lot, and I enjoyed it a lot. And I was like, okay, I got to read more of this. And now we have the second miniseries beginning here with God Save the President. And it was a very quiet issue. That's what I'll say. It's obviously setting itself up for a lot more in the actual miniseries, but not a lot went on in this issue. It's like there were cookies, and there were more cookies, and they were wondering where the cookies were. And and there were cookies. Did I mention cookies? Because there were cookies.
Well, they had like giant killer statues and a slaughter at the end of the issue. What do you mean nothing happened?
All right. Well, okay. I went to comic book club to like 2 weeks ago. That was their review. Their exact review was, "Wow, nothing happened but cookie eating." And I'm like, okay, I got to read this issue to like agree or disagree. And no, more stuff did happen in that. It's just that it wasn't the like lights out gangbuster issue I wanted from this first issue. But I'm not writing the miniseries off yet because it's only issue one, and that's a setup for the rest of the series. What did you think, Brett?
Did you listen to my BK's Bullets?
Yes, I did, in full.
All right. It was pretty crappy, wasn't it?
It was one of the worst BK's Bullets you've ever done.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's perfectly fine. I've had
I really did have a hard time like thinking about the book and the characters' names as I was recording that thing. It was like, man, I don't know what got over me. And I had just read that, too.
You sounded nervous. You sounded like you were like in front of a class of people.
No, but what I really needed, though, was this first page where it says the number and the name by the recap.
Yeah, Space Boy,
Kraken. I was like, finally.
Yeah.
Give me one of these. And I finally learned the octopus dude's name. His name is Horror.
Yep.
I didn't know that before.
Well, now you know. And knowing, it's just half the battle.
No, I liked the trade, the first series, and I like this issue. Man, oh man, did I like this issue.
Good. I'm very glad to hear it. Finally, one of my indie picks you like.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, the art is stunning.
Well, I would have said that if I hadn't read the trade and still read this issue, I probably still would have liked it.
Good. Yet again.
That doesn't mean I would have picked it up. I probably would have – it would have been one of those weird ones where I gave it a 3 and didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
The second issue just because I didn't read the first series if that happened. But I'm definitely going to get this second trade.
Well, it certainly paid to actually have read the first one because there were certain jokes inside of this that you wouldn't get otherwise. Like, for instance, the ice cream comment.
Like, yeah. And the whole thing with the white violin, what seance – not seance, but Rumor does to her. Yeah. Like, it would have just been like, what the hell?
I know. Yeah, but that was the thing that got me the most, because the line that made me crack up when I read that first one was definitely, well, the Eiffel Tower got away, but you know what that means? Ice cream!
Yay!
and this time, you know, they saved the day, and I'm like, well, you know what that means? Ice cream? No, you're too old for that. I'm like,
we have something much better than ice cream.
We used to get ice cream.
Grow up. It was like, I wanted them to be like, we have something much better than ice cream. Hookers!
Yes. Giant statue Abe Lincoln. You better watch out, okay? Because he will emancipate your ass.
I loved the John Wilkes Booth coming in, shooting him in the back of the head. That was hilarious.
Yes.
Like, where is there a giant statue of John Wilkes Booth to come alive? Honestly.
Apparently, maybe his hometown. I have no idea. Like, somewhere in the United States, it must be there.
I love that it still stays alive and runs away, and the cops are running after it as they're asking about ice cream on that one panel.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was very fun. And they do a good job of separating the flashbacks from the present, too. You know, like you can tell that the flashbacks are going to have something to do with the current story, just like it did in the last series. Because, you know, getting to know the characters in their youth helped you out a great deal with the rest of the series, and the meeting with JFK and their father, quote unquote, is sure as hell going to mean something in this whole thing. Hence, God Save the President.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was just a great set piece to kickstart the issue.
Yeah. And my God, I've never felt worse for a character than White Violin.
She's just totally clueless, isn't she?
Are you my sister? Yes, I am the sister that you ripped the vocal cords out of. Now, please, watch all the horrors in the world on as many televisions as I could fit into a room.
It looks like the Lost Chamber.
Yes.
One of the Lost Stations.
Yes, it does.
I'm fully expecting, like, Benjamin Linus to come out and be like, hello. Hello, Jack.
Well, what do you think about the art in the series? I mean, do you feel it's fitting for the story itself?
Yeah, it's really great. Totally, I like Gabriel Ba. I liked his art in the last issue, series trade, whatever.
Yeah,
I like it here. I think it's just a nice fit. It's kind of like weird and off kilter in the same way that the book is. Mm-hmm. You know, has kind of that same like. Flair. You know, if Jim Lee were drawing this thing, it would not fit.
Oh, God, yeah. Come on. Well, best comparison, I think, and again, I only have one issue to compare it to, but Mignola.
Yeah, it is. Reading this issue, and especially the last one, it does feel a lot like Mignola and Duncan Fergredo, mm-hmm. who's now drawing the Hellboy comics. Because, like, the little splashes of black in the background, how they have, like, the same, like, it looks like Mignola, like, stripes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the shadows, I mean.
Yeah.
And just, like, straight lines, there's not really a whole lot of, there is rendering, but, like, when he renders something, it's just, like a little line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? In the same way that Mignola did last month when we looked at Chapel of Moloch.
It's minimal. It's minimalistic.
Right.
Yeah. It gets the job done, but it's minimalistic. And, I mean, that fight scene at the end, of course, talk about coming out of nowhere considering there's number 5 at the racetrack and then all of a sudden, you know, he's kicking ass and taking names. It's like, and seeing a small boy, which you know is not a small boy, because if you read the first series, you know that, you know, he ended up way in the future.
He's really like a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, in the body of a
in
very
a five
small boy. Yeah.
Or 7, 8.
But still, I mean, like, that was a slaughter, dude.
Well, these are the same guys he killed in the last series that showed up at the diner. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Pogo got killed.
So
I'm kind of wondering what's going on. I think this is the main plot here, this thing at the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't have a huge drawn out battle like that and end on the page you do without that being what's important in the series.
Right. And I want to know what Hazel and Cha-Cha are.
No, he loves Chachi.
They're just throwaways, of course. You know, they have nothing to do with anything because
what the hell was this thing at the end where he's like going crazy? He's like, I am much too fast. I am a gazelle. He's like, I am a gazelle and the jungle is my home. Like, what the?
Here's the answer.
He just snapped.
He's batshit insane.
Well, even his pupils go like super thin.
Okay, he's a 65-year-old man who witnessed the Holocaust in the body of a 7-year-old. Would you be sane?
No.
Yeah. I mean, like, in essence, his entire world, he was the last one left, man.
Well, he didn't witness the end of the world. He just showed up after it had happened.
Well, okay, but he experienced the horror of being alone in a world that has gone through, like, a nuclear war.
Okay.
Which is close enough to being there for the end.
Right.
Yeah. So I certainly would like to see Space Boy get out of his chair.
Is it just me or did he look fatter in this issue?
Yes, he looked fatter. He's done nothing but eat cookies since the White Violin got screwed.
But see, I'm totally confused as to his suit. Like, does he actually have monkey or organs inside of him? Or is it like a robotic monkey?
I think it's actual monkey organs. I think he's actually part monkey.
So he had like a head transplant.
Something like that.
But see, the way he uses it, though, it looks like he's just walking on two limbs like a regular human. I guess that's the way he would walk. But I want to see him like get on all fours and shit and knuckle drag it and knock some people out with like flinging his things like Kong.
Yeah, be like Monsieur Malat versus...
Exactly, but I guess it'd be less weird that way.
Yeah. Well, we've never seen him out of the suit, if it is a suit. So that's why I'm assuming that it's a head transplant. You know, which of course makes a large amount of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, me saying the words head transplant... just cracks me up. But
I feel like he should have a dome over his head and should float up every once in a while, like from Futurama. Some famous dude.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, where was the Morrison reference in this issue? Because I remember there being a reference to like something being like Morrison Park or Morrison Field or something. I'm trying to track it down in this like 8 seconds I have here, but
I didn't even catch that.
Okay. Oh yeah, here
I
we
liked
go.
How
yeah, a midnight vigil in Morrison Park will be held tonight for the victims of the destruction in the downtown area.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, because he's a huge Grant Morrison fan, and that's what I mean. A lot of people draw the parallels to Grant Morrison, but I think much more Mike Mignola than Grant Morrison for me.
I don't know. He's some tripped out emo kid.
Oh come. You know, enough with the fucking emo shit, all right?
I'm sorry.
Just because someone sings emo music doesn't make them emo in real life, okay?
I know.
That's the way it goes, all right? But you love the issue, obviously. What do you give it?
I'd give it a 4.5. This was great.
I give it a 4.3. It's certainly up there, and I'm expecting like probably issue 2 to be a 5 for me. But still, I wanted a little bit more out of this first issue to get me really, really hyped. But I'm certainly picking up all the issues, and I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm definitely getting this next trade, if not when it comes out, but sometime soon after that.
Dude, I'm picking up singles straight up. I mean, I'm not even sure if this is in my Heroes Corner shipment, so this will be one of the few books I pick up in Midtown. But I'm picking it up because, like, come on, monthly Umbrella Academy, haha.
Haha, I have the first trade.
So, Daredevil and Captain America, Dead on Arrival. Your turn.
All right, this is the one book that I did not really like.
Really,
number one,
tell.
It says mature content on the front, and there was nothing inside that was mature.
Oh,
I didn't see
death?
Any
death,
Bruce
perhaps?
Killings. Yeah, but people are killed all the time in regular comic books. I didn't understand what made this so different.
No, let me tell you why this is mature. And it's one of the first lines of the book. And I'm reading this on the train on my way home. And I show it to Chris. And
oh, I am going to touch your son?
Yes. Yes.
But that touch may not be lethal.
I'm like, what the hell am I getting myself into here? That was like, I mean, talk about a mistranslation, because I guarantee that's not what they were going for.
All right, so it's Daredevil and Captain America, Dead on Arrival from Marvel Comics. It's a one-shot. Writer Tito Farassi, artist Claudio Villa. I guess they're both from Italy. They have like a little bio in the back of the book.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, so they're both dying. So there you go. That's where they're from. And I guess this was produced maybe for Marvel Italy?
I think, I'm not
sure. Or maybe they just tapped them for this and said, write something and we'll translate it.
No, actually, it was for a certain company, like one of the companies that I think subcontracts Marvel stuff over in Italy. Like, it might not have been Marvel proper, but it was like whoever publishes Marvel comics in Italy. Got them on tap for this. Got permission from Marvel and everything. Wrote the story. It was huge over there, and that's the way it went.
I don't see why it was huge over there, because to me, this was really, like, nothing special.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was old-fashioned, because this felt to me like more like something you would have read in the 90s or the 80s. You know, like, it was like that style of storytelling. Like, not the type of Captain America that I would read in a Captain America comic written by a Brubaker today, and not the Daredevil I would read in a Bendis or a Brubaker comic today. You know, not even like a Kevin Smith Daredevil. It's definitely like more like the 1993 Captain America and Daredevil. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
not really, because I didn't read those 1993 Captain America and Daredevils, but it is Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
the Captain America. I was about to say Daredevil. Steve Rogers, Daredevil.
Did you like the art at least?
At some points I did, and some points I didn't. I don't know what it was.
The inking, I think. The inking and the coloring.
Because Daredevil looks really funny to me on some pages. Well, like, if you go to the back of the book where he finally realizes, oh shit, it's Captain America, like, it looks like he has a really huge forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for me, his horns should be a little bigger. I mean, I don't know.
Well, could it be that you're so used to seeing Daredevil drawn in either like a Wark or a Maliv style?
You know, like, it could
like,
be
like more of a noir situation than.
But I've seen him like the in I've read that Kevin Smith Daredevil trade. That's all Quesada, and that's, I don't know.
Well, that was like that was still like a certain house style that Marvel Knights had going for it.
These, like, this art style though is more similar to like a Lark or a Maliv though.
Really?
Because I would put this art style up to anything that Steve Epting and Luke Ross are doing over in Captain America right now.
I would say Epting
and say that it's about the same.
I would definitely say Epting because I got that feeling from the Cap, but not from the Daredevil. It was like it almost felt like it was drawn by two separate people, and like they weren't meshing quite right. Even though I know that it was only one person, like the Daredevil and the Captain America scenes feel like they were drawn by two different people.
I think the Daredevil just has a lot more ink on him, and Cap doesn't. Maybe that might be
That's possible. That's very possible. The way I felt about the story is it was okay. I mean, it was far from excellent, but it was more of an old-fashioned style Marvel comic story, you know? That's the way I looked at it. Like more like something that not like a Stan Lee or something like that, but more like a 70s creator would have come out with near the end of his career in the 80s or something like that. You know, not like the best story, but middle of the road.
I felt like this should be written by Chris Claremont or something, you know, some guy from the 70s.
Could see that. Could definitely see that, yeah. It's better than Claremont's stuff today. I'll certainly give you that. And it suffered from translation at points. Because there were certain lines that, like, the words they were using didn't feel right, and the flow of the conversation didn't feel right, and I'm going to touch your children. it was, you know.
This mature content thing on the front really threw me for a loop, though. Like, I was expecting, and even when we looked at it, you know, and when we picked it, I was like, mature content, Captain America, oh man, he's going to be killing people left and right, like something wild, you know, and it just turned out, this guy kills people, which is nothing new, really. And I didn't understand what it was, and now that it says, you know, I am going to touch your children, touch your son.
Yes.
But, I mean, if you look at, like, All-Star Batman has had bullshitting, goddamn, the last issue, they were calling Batgirl a cunt, or a bitch, whatever, if you got the uncensored version. Or I can send you the uncensored pages if you want.
I've seen them on Lying in the Gutters. So
right, you can go find them yourself. But, you know, they're calling her such nastier things, and that didn't get a mature content, even though I know it's a different company. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Well,
it's like watching a movie, and there's one F word. There's like two F words in it, and that's why it's rated R.
But
you're like, what the hell?
Not
that ratings matter anymore, but they did when I was littler and couldn't watch it.
What I think might have happened is this might have been a mature story for Italy. You know, maybe they have different standards in Italy, and they just happened to cross the mature content label over into our, United States comic book. Because we don't know what comics in Italy are. I mean, if anybody's listening in Italy and can, you know, shoot us up as to how gory comics get over there, like what they draw the line on for mature tags. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
But it certainly wasn't like very frightening though. This Deathstalker guy wasn't very frightening. I didn't really feel like he needed to be, taking up Captain America's time at all.
Yeah.
I felt like this was beneath Captain America. And maybe that's where I was kind of like, you know, why do I have to read this Cap story? Because it's beneath Captain America, really, for me. And I was like, damn you, Ian.
So I always end up 2 out of 3 with you. Because you
picked this.
I cannot win. I seriously cannot. I picked Umbrella Academy too.
Yes, and you lucked out there.
Yeah, all right, good.
I actually made the effort to go and do my back research on that one.
Yeah.
Rather than like actually go watch an episode of Doctor Who. I was like, fuck that.
Well, all right. Well, like even lines like this, like I'm halfway through, and yet again this is a line with the kid. Like, it all hinges on you, Sean. On you and your mother. On your mother's unconditional love. By now, she should have done what I asked her to do. You know? You can read into almost every single line he says to this kid.
I don't know.
It's not cool. That's all. I mean, like, whoever translated this needs to sit down and look at their own work and realize, okay, maybe I shouldn't use that series of words next time. I mean, I like the art when they were showing like the craziness, like when he puts that fear toxin, like almost like the scarecrow stuff, into Daredevil's face, and he thinks he's seeing, and basically gets driven insane for it. I mean, that was pretty hot.
Well, I liked the art anytime Daredevil and Captain America weren't on the page. Mm-hmm. Like all the stuff that's just the Deathstalker, like that one page where it's all like flashback, and he's telling the story of like himself back in the 1860s.
Yeah,
like. Get this guy and put him on an old Frankenstein or vampire book or something like that. Because that part looks great with the sepia toning, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that looked great. I was like, I want to read this stuff. And then when Cap and whoever else shows up is like, oh, man.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that Marvel hasn't brought back their horror line like in full yet. I mean, I know that they had like those specials and those annuals and stuff. But, I mean, I think it's... The market is ripe for the picking at this point to bring back horror books. I mean, with all the zombie popular and vampire popular and all that, Frankenstein being back in DC, you know, bring back the horror to Marvel Comics. Saying, yeah, get this guy to come to America or stay in Italy and just ship the pages and be one of the artists on that. I'm totally for that.
Yeah.
Get the right writer on it. Get Robert Kirk. Oh, oops. Whoa, wait.
Nah, he's above that.
Yeah, he's way above that. But and actually, probably my biggest problem with the issue, you know, even bigger than the other stuff that I mentioned, which I'm not going to mention again because it'll make you laugh again, is the interaction between Nick Fury and Captain America. Because
boring.
Not only was it boring, Nick Fury was out of character. I mean,
he was too nice. Yeah, almost.
He was too nice. He wasn't. This isn't the banter I'm used to hearing between Cap and Fury. You know, like I mean, they didn't sound like two grizzled war veterans who had fought in the trenches together. You know, they felt like two guys who maybe hang out at the same bar like twice a month. You know, because it didn't ring true to me. And that's one thing you need to do when you have Nick Fury on a page is make him feel like he's been around as long as Cap.
Well, he was like trading banter, like witty banter with Cap when Cap was fighting those robots or where he's like, practicing night fighting, are you? Like, that's a dumbass question. Why would you even ask that?
Yeah, come on.
You should be like, "What? You have better things to do than practice." He should be like, Cap, you have better things to do than practice on robots or something like that. You should just be out there at all times or something like that, you know?
And you know he was only practicing night fighting because he was going to be teaming up with Daredevil later on.
No, just so that they could make it seem like they were fighting the same person. Like, the first time I read this, I was reading it, and I was almost thought they were in the same alley fighting the same guy. And then when I read it the second time a couple days ago, I was like, okay, quite obviously this is not what's going on.
And okay, one other comment that I need to make here is the whole getting transported into the future – after you're dead, causing a rip in time. It's happened before in Marvel, and nobody seemed that annoyed about it.
Well, the whole like paragraph or whatever where Nick Fury's explaining what's going on, that he was dead and now he's alive again or something like that. It didn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. Like if I mean,
well, he was killed in a fight with Daredevil previously.
Right, I got that.
Yeah. What he was saying here is that in the past, he wound up in the future after he'd already died, and that was going to cause some sort of temporal paradox.
I don't know. And then he touches himself, and he goes, that's...
I am a perv.
Maybe that's why it was mature content. They knew that we were going to review it, and they thought, oh man, they're going to make these jokes because he touches himself.
And children.
And children.
And children. He's Michael Jackson, ladies and gentlemen.
Once touch your son. Hey, that was never proven.
Yeah. It's never proven. My word, man. Yeah, and O.J. Simpson didn't kill anybody.
I don't know. It's never proven, but he certainly did steal shit.
Hey, but remember, if the glove don't fit...
You must have quit.
You must have quit, yeah. And if the Death Stalker sucks, you must not read this issue. So yeah, it was okay. It was just incredibly forgettable. I mean, I put it down afterwards, and I'm like, okay, this is 48 pages, and it did not feel that way at all. It felt like it was 64.
It did really feel really long.
Not in the good way, you know. Like,
and it was $4.99.
Yeah,
$4.99.
Yeah. Well, you see, it cost an extra dollar to ship it over from Italy.
Yeah. Was it printed in Italy or something?
Well, I love the fact that comic books are, printed in Canada, shipped to the United States, and then shipped back to Canada.
You know what, though? There were no ads in this book.
Yes, that felt refreshing. That's the extra dollar.
And Umbrella Academy, no ads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I found striking, though, Umbrella Academy, 32 pages, no ads. And it was $2.99.
Right.
Kind of similar to Chapel of Moloch last time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, well, that's proof.
Is that like a regular Dark Horse thing that they don't have ads in their books?
I believe so. I believe that is actually their thing. They haven't mentioned whether they're going to be raising the prices of their books or anything, but I assume they're going to have to after a while. But they might try a $3.25 or a $3.50 before they go to $3.99 because they're smart.
Gee, I wish some other companies would do that.
Hook yuck. Yeah, so overall, what do you give this madness?
Two.
Two? All right. I'm going to give it a 2.5 because I think I enjoyed it a little bit more than you. It's just that, yeah, Deathstalker, very, very forgettable character. And his original name was better than his name he went with, even though I'm sure there's probably like four characters by that name in the Marvel Universe.
What was his original name?
Wasn't it like Exterminator or something like that?
Dumb costume looking.
Yeah, let me take a look. Yeah, and his first costume was actually mentally retarded, but
it's like let's go with metal over my head to a trench coat and a hat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, and another example of the like dialogue really not working. His real name is Philip Wallace Sterling. His first claim to infamy was as the Exterminator.
Oh.
He later reinvented himself as Deathstalker and got himself a more conservative costume designer. I'm not reading biography here.
No, the adaptation was by Larry Hama. And they have a translation and an adaptation.
Oh, really?
So I don't know what that means exactly.
What it
translation
means,
I'll understand, but adaptation, it shouldn't. Should it need to be adapted?
Yeah, what the hell?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, okay. Actually, let me change that because working where I do, I understand the difference between translation and adaptation. What they did probably was someone actually translated the dialogue straight. Then Larry Hama adapted it to an American audience. That's probably what ended up happening.
So they took the meaningless mumbo jumbo of right. the Italian and made it sound normal.
Right.
Or tried to.
If at one point Daredevil said, "I must stop cat dog donut," they took that out. You know, that's the best way to describe it, really, because I've seen many, many, many bad translations, either in anime or in video games before, and they wanted to avoid that. So there you go. Does this mean that it was more mature in Italy? you better damn guarantee it. Someone got their hands on this, some editor, and that's the reason the adaptation happened. As opposed to, like, the straight translation and living with the possible badness. Because, give you an example here, when manga's translated, it's translated most of the time. and the adaptation is basically just changing very obscure references, if anything. You know, they really don't change much. This felt like it was changed significantly from the original. So, you know, if there's an Italian out there who can tell me yay or nay to this, please shoot me an email, comictiming@gmail.com. We'll find out. All right, so 2.5 for me, 2 for you. So overall, what do you think of the month?
It was an okay month. I think Umbrella Academy was a standout. And if you had told me that I was going to say that 3 months ago, I would have smacked you.
Playback tape, Johnny. Oh, wow. You're making me read that emo shit.
Yeah, I was stand corrected.
Game, set, and match. Which, of course, means now that you're probably either going to hate or love Bang Tango. There is no in between.
Well, I mean, I said, like, a disclaimer in the BK's Bullets at the beginning, like, you know, I don't like emo music, I can't stand it, I don't like people wearing eyeliner that are dudes and all this, I don't understand it, but he was a good comic book writer.
And let me
so
bring...
I couldn't fault him for that.
Let me bring up South Park for a minute. People with eyeliner, yeah, that's called goth. There's a huge difference between emo and goth, and the emo kids have got to realize the goth kids had you first, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just give up the game. All right. I think.
Well, basically the only difference is went from baggy, really, really baggy pants to really, really tight pants.
Yeah. And listening to Good Charlotte versus listening to not Good Charlotte.
Yeah. Marilyn Manson to Good Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I think we're done at this point. So, Mr. Cassina, you got any other BK's Bullets up on that rotation?
No, I don't, and I don't have any planned. Not really.
How exciting.
Sorry.
That's okay.
We don't have any more jokes. we're fresh out.
But well, as you listen to on episode 79, as I believe that should be out very soon, we just had the callback episode to the trade paperback discussion I had in episode 6. Expect more stuff along the lines of that. Sort of like on occasion, like maybe once every 4 or 5 episodes or something, I'm probably going to end up bringing back some of the older topics and renewing them for the current situation of comics. So that might be somewhat more regular. So stay tuned. Plenty more stuff to come. New York Comic Con, MegaCon, you know all that blah, 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 blah already. So once more, we're sponsored by Heroes Corner, heroescorner.com. CT Rocks promo code 5% off for first-time users only. And Bang Tango number 1, 75 cents on Heroes Corner. Detective Comics is 50% off at $2. And Dark Hawk is 50% off at $2 as well. Go ahead and check those out at heroescorner.com. Best damn customer service around. Heroescorner.com for your holiday needs. And afterwards.
And you want to go next month, we are going to be covering Green Arrow, Black Canary number 15, mm-hmm. Andrew Kreisberg, Mike Norton, Secret Invasion, Dark Reign, Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev.
Michael Bendis counts too.
And Akihabara at Deep, Volume 1. In manga,
yes.
Which I have not read yet.
Neither have I.
All these are out, so technically we could do this next week if you wanted. But it's the holidays, so
it's not going to happen because it's the holidays and I haven't read any of them yet.
Oh, really?
Yes. The shipment's waiting for me at my house.
Oh,
right. So I got the Akihabara Deep like 2-3 weeks ago anyway because that came out early.
Did that come out in November? Yeah.
That came out in November.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, that came out in November. Sometimes manga does that. They'll be solicited and it comes out before anything else.
Oh, imagine that if American comics did.
Yes. In that magical fairyland.
Much less on time. It comes early.
Magical fairyland filled with fairies and babies and emo kids, apparently. So, yeah, check it out. It'll be fun and all that. I'm trying to think if we got any other topics I can mention off the top of my head here that we're going to be having on Comic Timing. You know, really, whatever comes to us. I mean, We're probably going to go back to the well and go to the topic suggestion thread, which we haven't checked out in a while. And please, if you got any suggestions for topics for Comic Timing you want to throw out there that haven't been mentioned yet.
Are we going to do a best of episode? Did we do that one last year?
Oh shit, you're right. Yeah, almost completely forgot. All right, yeah, we'll do the DC and the Marvel. We'll do it at the beginning of January. We'll do DC and Marvel best of. I know we should technically do indie, but we only started reading indie with the review corner, so that's sort of be thrown in there at the end or something like that. But yeah, we'll do a Marvel and a DC. We'll definitely do that. So stay tuned. Best of 2008 coming, damn Skippy. So there you go. Anything else you got to mention, Brent?
That's it.
All right. What episode was your Raging Bullets, BK's Bullets on? Just
I don't know. Like the 3 ago.
All right. 3 ago. Check the RagingBullets.com website for, you know, Brent Cassina or Comic Timing mentions, and that's the best way to do it. 140. 140.
140. Yeah, I'll go with you.
It was 140 because 139 was mine. So it was definitely 140.
Gotcha.
All right, boys. So and girls. Can't forget girls. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak, guys, over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. And we're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on dig.com. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. So one more time. Stay warm, Brent. Oh, wait, you don't have to.
It might get colder.
And for
I'd actually like for it to be cold around Christmas time, you know?
Yes.
Because the last couple of days I've brought jeans home because that's pretty much all I've been wearing in Gainesville. Brought jeans home, it was like fucking 80 degrees outside. It was like, great. My shorts are in Gainesville.
Yeah, my heart bleeds for you. Trust me. My heart fucking bleeds for you. Be walking around in the ice in 20-degree weather. Poor baby has to wear jeans.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah. What do you got to say to our folks out there celebrating holidays?
Kwanzaa Shmanza.
Happy Chrismana Kwanzaa-dana Festivus and all the other things you celebrate. Anything you're celebrating out there in the month of December or the beginning of January, happy holidays. Enjoy, eat your food, see your friends, get good stuff, and Chaim for all you Hanukkah people. And as always, there's always time for comics. And, well, this is what's happening for us right here. We got the DC pick, which was Brent's pick and my pick, really, because, hey, it's Neil Gaiman writing Batman. Detective Comics number 650. Excuse me, 650. What was that, like 2 years ago, 5 years ago? 853.
Yes, like eight.
Yeah, 853. There we go. Number 853. Written by Neil Gaiman, art by Andy Cooper and Scott Williams. Whatever happened to the Caped Crusader Part 2? And obviously, we'll talk about Part 1. Obviously.
Obviously.
Because why would you do part two and not talk about part one? But yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at MegaCon's site.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You know we're gonna be at MegaCon.
Go ahead. No. Finish the ad. We'll get to that next.
Okay. And that one is on sale. Comes on sale. Pick it up on February 25th. And this is 50% off of the $3.99 price. $2 at Heroes Corner. And that's just something that I know that Brent and I are taking advantage of. Getting $3.99 books for $2.
Schwing.
Yeah, because $3.99 books kind of suck.
You know? I didn't even know that was $3.99 until you pointed it out.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is 48 pages, so.
Yeah, so all right. But let's see how many of those are ads. We do not.
No, no. It's 48 pages of story.
Yeah, but once upon a time, I used to believe that.
Really?
Yeah. Once upon a time, I used to believe it was 48 pages of story. There have been a bunch of Marvel books that said, quote-unquote, 48 pages, and 12 of them were ancillary material that had nothing to do with anything. And sometimes I've even seen 48 pages listed for listings, and it turned out to not even be 48 pages. But I'm believing DC with 48 pages, because it's Neil Gaiman. So, all right, we'll go that far.
Well, in a two-issue trade, it's not going to be very thick, so, you know.
Yeah,
this way it'll be like a simulated 4-issue trade.
Oh, it's got to be a hardcover, man.
Of course, a simulated 4-issue hardcover.
Yes, yes. War of Kings, Dark Hawk number 1 is the Marvel pick for Raf Suhu. Written by C.B. Cebulski, penciled by Harvey Tolabao, or Tolabeo, or however you want to pronounce it.
I think it's Tolabao. He did the Avengers Initiative book we reviewed a couple months ago.
Yes, he did. Yeah, did a good
job
on it.
With the giant Spider-Man tits.
Spider-Man tits.
Excuse me.
Yes, you
see. Where's my mind tonight, man?
Good question, man. What were you watching before this? That's what I want to know. I mean, were you focusing on, like, Chuck Norris porn or something like that? I don't know, but... Spider-Man apparently Spider-Man apparently had a couple of too many beers and got himself some man tits. That's the only explanation for this right here. But yeah, no, he drew really good Spider-Woman boobies. Spider-Woman. Okay.
Okay. You say so.
Okay. And War King's Darkhawk number one, as I said, C.B. Sobolski. It's the return of Darkhawk to a limited
dark
series. Of
dark cock.
Yes. Dark. Oh my lord. Dark Hawk with a hawk.
Okay. I'm just going to love that episode.
I cannot wait to see the editing job you do on this one. Like, I'm just going to be like spouting out. You're going to like copy and paste. Like, tits, ass, vagina.
You just gave it to me right there.
I am screwed. I am so screwed. Well, anyway, yeah.
If I actually had the energy to actually edit the episode...
Oh, yes, because
then I might actually do it.
Because God forbid, right? 48 pages on this one also. $3.99, Return of Darkhawk to his own series. It's all part of the War of Kings, which sounds like it should be a Showtime show. War of Kings. I don't know. What do you think?
Sounds like a medieval thing.
Yeah.
Maybe like swords and horses and trolls.
Something like the Tudors, perhaps? All right, well, this one's $3.99, also 50% off for $2. And the other book, the other pick, is the weird one that we throw in there, because apparently I love my gangsters, as Brett brought up before. We got Joe Kelly and Adrian Sabar and Rodney Ramos, covers by Howard Chaykin, Bang Tango, number one of six. 75% off, only 75 cents on Heroes Corner. That's a Vertigo book, so that's technically our independent for the month. And I guess we're sort of breaking it a little bit. I mean, Vertigo is not technically independent, but, you know, it's creator-owned.
It is Vertigo?
Yeah, it's Vertigo.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I did not... usually they're not Vertigo, so I went to the specials page and ordered it from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To make sure I had it.
Right, yeah. Well, this one is Vertigo. It even says publisher DC Comics on the thing I'm putting on. But, hey, creator-owned is as close to independent as you can get. So that's how we're breaking our rule this month. And it's Joe Kelly, so I think it's worth reading, you know. Joe Kelly wrote one hell of a good Deadpool back in the day and wrote a decent Superman, too.
Yep.
And his Amazing Spider-Man issues came out already, right?
One or two.
All right, yeah, he did one. So, you know, hey, go ahead and read it. It's 32 pages for 75 cents. And the product code is CTROCKS, CTROCKS. Now, tits, ass, vagina.
It's show dumb. Show dumb.
Show dumb.
Show dumb. Show dumb con!
Yes, and it would be very nice if I, you know, got to the end of the week with clean clothes. I don't want to be walking around like some of the bums in this neighborhood. All right, okay, all right, we're ready. We're good. Okay, all right, we're soon.
Have you seen any of the Real World Brooklyn tapings lately?
No,
any video cameras?
God, fucking no, man. No, yet again, I'm so happy that that's on the other side of Brooklyn.
I guess you're just not going to the bars, Ian. I don't know why.
Yeah, gee, golly gee whiz. Because you know me, I really seem like a bar magnet.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. All right, let me bring up the Heroes Corner picks so we have them handy. So give me a minute.
I'll do that too. Since you're springing on me, asshole.
Bad case of the phlegm today.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
What about you, Macho Man Randy Savage?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Dig it. Snap into a slam jam. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, bitchin'.
He always sounded like he was having, like, some sort of constipation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
trying to squeeze one out like every single time you got into it. Like, ooh, yeah! God, that feels good!
That sounds like the Kool-Aid man. Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! Ooh, yeah!
Ooh, yeah! What's up? Oh, no, Miss Kool-Aid man.
Will you people stop saying, ooh, yeah, in my courtroom? Because the Kool-Aid man's just going to keep on showing up. Perhaps recording is exactly what I needed to cheer up my day. All right.
Okay. You're welcome, fine, sir.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, okay, all right. Roll it down. Here we go. All right, in 5, 4, 3, 2. Make sure we're recording. One sec. Okay, red light's on. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You know, it's the same way I feel about Dr. Midnight. Because, like, you learn to see a different way, and then you're given back your sight, and you realize how much you miss seeing the way you've been seeing.
Okay.
Did I say the word see one too many times in there?
Yeah, I think you did, yes.
All right, let me say that again, then, and hopefully you'll understand it this time. So, wow, I'm echoing right now, aren't I? I keep hearing myself yet again, so let me lower myself a little bit. Maybe that'll help. All right. Okay. Let's see. One more time. Okay. Test, test, test. Okay, good. That'll work. Yeah. Ha-ha. Let me say ha-ha again. Ha-ha. I just got top 10 for a friend of mine, so now I get to see how he experiences the insanity
Gene,
of that. Yes, Gene. Ha-ha. Exactly. Gabriel Ba.
Ba-ba.
Gabriel Ba-ba Gina.
Ba-ba Black Jeep had a merry wolf. Yes, sir, 3 packs full.
If this is not in the back of the episode, you're fired.
Come on. Why leave it? Why take it out? Time for the comics.
I figured I'd add Jewish flair in there since I said Ohio.
Do you actually say that to people? Hey, Grandma, Lahaim, what's up?
Lahaim means for life, I think. It's supposed to be a good luck thing. Yeah. There's always time for comics. Look at you.
You're going to jail, Lahaim.
You're going to jail for touching little boys. That was one of the most fucked up lines in a comic book I've read in
I didn't even read it. I didn't even read it like that. I was like, I'm going to touch your son. Okay.
Yes.
Next page.
How could you not read it that way, man?
I did not catch it at all until you pointed it out.
But the worst
really,
part...
I was like, why does this say mature content on the front?
It's
it did not seem mature at all.
It was in one of those squiggly line word bubbles, too, so he's saying it all, I'm going to touch your son.
I don't know. I was so like, why did... I'm just have to read this. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And that was on the first page.
Oh, dear man. Dear boy. All right, I will stop the recording at this very moment since I believe we are done. So, yeah, I should hopefully have the next episode out by the weekend at the latest.
Which is what you said last.
Yes, exactly. But then I realized I had a brunch to go to and all this other shit.
Yeah, this one.